Brother Michael now. I told him, I said, you're at home, so you just make yourself at home. And I hope the Lord will give him a real spiritual blessing tonight through his message, and that it will also be a real spiritual blessing to us too. Brother Michael, come on.
Good evening. It's good to see each of you tonight. I'm so glad God brought me to this house and He brought each one of you. It's my earnest, heartfelt prayer and desire that we can do our best to glorify and sing praises to God. My message, if it had a title, is called, What Kind of Person Are You? What kind of person are you? And then I will ask a question. Why were we created? And I hope that each one of you brought your Bibles. I'm about to read out of 1 Peter. Please read along with me. And there is a reason for reading along in the Bible with me. It's not just to back up God's word. And to have things to prove if I say something wrong, but it's also so you can get a blessing out of reading God's word, and that's right there in your own hand. First Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. And I've use this passage of scripture before, and I hope the Lord will bless the reading of it once again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praise of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And reading verse 12. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they might by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. May God bless the reading of his word. Do not forget who God created us to be. Seems like a simple thing that we all undoubtedly say from time to time, but we tend to forget. We need reminders from time to time. And I would like to explore that a little bit. Looks. I believe looks are very important. The world recently has adopted a principle to not put as much emphasis on looks, but I think looks are very important. It might not be what you or I consider to be pleasant or good looking, but it's definitely what God considers good looking and acceptable. Why am I switching from stoneware dinnerware to plastic dinnerware? I'm very clumsy. Y'all know that. We've had the privilege of being in the house, or at least it's been my privilege to be among you. And you've heard me say many times about my clumsiness. I have more than one occasion dropped stone dinnerware. What happens when you drop stone dinnerware? Well, most of the time, it's going to break. I ask that you turn your attention to the book of Jeremiah. And while I'm talking, look through and study Jeremiah chapter 18 and chapter 19. And I'm going to read a little bit of Jeremiah chapter 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hands of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make. And then we'll go down to Jeremiah 19. I hope that you know a little bit about Jeremiah. I really like him and have got a blessing out of reading the book of Jeremiah. I hope you do as well. We all know that Israel, the Israelite people, have had their ups and downs, where sometimes they're doing what God wants, sometimes they're not doing what God wants. In this particular instance, they weren't doing exactly what God wanted. But we will look at Jeremiah chapter 19. And when Jeremiah was talking to Judah, he says, "And shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, even so will I break this people, as this city, as one breaketh a potter's vessel that cannot be made whole again." Jeremiah was he was sent to this potter's house, and he saw with his eyes. He had a good visualization, a good picture in his mind of what it took to make a vessel out of clay. God sent Jeremiah to witness this. And then in chapter 19, when Jeremiah was told to go to the people of Judah and take a clay pot and smash it on the ground, he was giving a visualization that God wanted, not Jeremiah, but God, that the clay pot that was smashed on the ground could not be made whole again. That's the answer to my predicament. Why am I switching to a plasticware? Well, if I'm clumsy and I drop a piece of plastic, it might bounce. It's not going to break. If it did, like the clay, I'm not going to be able to put it back together. Fortunately, we serve a risen Savior that can put anything back together. Again, I ask you to examine yourself. Think about what kind of person you are. You have many attributes. You have many likes and dislikes. I like things that are a little odd, a little magoo. I'm a comic book nerd. And I like superheroes because they can do the impossible. In those little pages of the comic books, the colorful pages, but that's what I like. I hope you've thought about things that you like and what kind of person you are. Are you a loving person? Are you a kind person? Are you a little rough around the edges? Could you be a little nicer? Could you be a little kinder? Could you treat your neighbor a little better? People that come from different counties to visit Bowling Green, to shop in Bowling Green. You may never have seen them before. You may never see them again, but if you act contrary to what God says, it says this is acceptable, they're going to see and notice you do that. And then especially if you proclaim to be Christian, they're going to start seeing and associating that unacceptable behavior with Christians. And I don't want that. You don't want that. God definitely does not want that. Why are we to avoid the appearance of evil? Well, there's many reasons why we are to avoid the appearance of evil. One is a very personal reason. It can be selfish, but not in a bad sense. But it could be very personal, so you can have financial means, so you can avoid sickness. But others are not so selfish, are not so personal, so others don't associate you with being evil. Very simple concept, but we tend to forget that. We have to be reminded from time to time. That's one reason why it's good to hold your Bible in your hand and to read it and study it and look through it and see what is acceptable to God. We sometimes need to be reminded of that. Now, I would like you to take your Bibles and to turn to the book of John. And I love this verse. I like characters in the Bible. I find the characters enjoyable. I hope you do as well. But the book of John, chapter 20, verse 25. John, chapter 20, verse 25. And this is after my favorite character in the Bible, after he died a human death and rose again, like many people thought was impossible. And a lot of people didn't believe it. And we see in John chapter 20, verse 25, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see his hands and the prints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, are we like that? Is it a bad thing? It is. If you're a non-believer, you need to have faith. But I want to go on. Verse 26 through 29, "Then came Jesus through the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas," doubting Thomas, we all know him as doubting Thomas, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have seen and have yet to, blessed that have not seen and yet believe." And yes, the verse is primarily about faith and how we should have faith in Jesus. I don't believe it stops there. That verse, if you look at it, at least to me, on a personal level for me, it's not saying that Thomas was wrong. Jesus didn't say, "No, Thomas, you're wrong. You don't need to do that. You don't need to see it to believe it." He strongly recommended it. But Thomas, Jesus knew exactly what Thomas needed, and Thomas, I picture Thomas as a visual learner, as a person that desperately needs to see visual something that's happening. Something that has happened, and there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. That does not mean you don't need faith, but there's nothing wrong with being a visual person. And God knew exactly that. That's why Jesus said, "Here's my hands, Thomas. This is where I was nailed to the cross. Here's my side. You see my side? That's where the spear hit me. Thomas, you need to see this. You need to see this. Now, very recently, I decided to do a little house cleaning, and I'm trying to sell a few things. I took a picture of things, and clearly on the picture it says some of these things are not available. Some are. This is what you get right here. This is what you get, and it clearly says that this is what you get, and no, there's no doubt in that. You cannot misinterpret that. But yet, somebody asked me for the items that were not included. I'm not important. So that's only a visualization that I had. But there are instances when God says, do this, exactly this, and do it this way. But still, we say, can we do it another way? Can we do it another way that I think might be a little better? That's why the reminders are there, that God set in place the monuments, if you will, that are there, that God set in place. That's one reason why I encourage you to read along in the Bible, because the Bible that's in your hand, this is a monument that God left us. This will help remind us. This will help remind us of what God did for us, who God is, who he wants us to be. So, I'll ask you, what kind of person are you? Why were we created? There are misconceptions in this world, and I have to apologize for this. There are misconceptions in the world, and I spent 30 years not totally aware of this, but and people have tried to debate with me and tried to convince me that it's okay to get tattoos. It's okay to get piercings. God will be okay with that. But read your Bibles. Read your monuments. It's going to tell you why it's not acceptable, why God does not find it acceptable. And I'll just go ahead and read this with, and I'm going to put in a Greek translation that if I knew this when I was debating the fact that people, when people said, it's okay for me to look this way, God will be okay with that. God will accept that. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's possession, peculiar is a word that I thought meant odd, meant Magoo, meant a little different. And I also thought it's okay to be different. It's okay for you to look a little different, to talk a little different. Not when God says something is not acceptable, I want you to do it this way. If you are God's possession, you were made by God. God owns you whether you want him to own you or not. He owns you. Brother Moran preached a great sermon, Our Bodies Are Not Our Own, that I believe that wholeheartedly. But I'm going to continue. God told Naaman to wash in dirty water 7 times. Naaman didn't want to at first. It was dirty. I have a better way of doing things. Could I not just wash in these cleaner waters? That's what we have a tendency to do. Even though God says do it this way, we have a tendency to say, well, God, let's say I do it this way, you'll be okay with it. You forgive. That's true to an extent, but does not change the fact that God's told Naaman to wash in the Pool of Siloam 7 times. And Jesus, when he was alive on earth, he healed a blind man and did so with spit and mud and a commandment. And that blind man, I don't think he would have been healed if he didn't do it exactly how God said to do it. Now, I want to look at another character in the Bible, Joshua. And if you want to turn to Joshua chapter 4, that'd be great. And Joshua chapter 4, I want you to know a little bit about Joshua. Joshua, we all know who Moses was. We all know that the Israelites were slaves, and God was with Moses. God called Moses his friend. God delivered the Israelites from Pharaoh. And that was a miraculous thing in itself. But the way he did it, when they crossed the Red Sea, he parted it in a way that everybody knew that it was God. And then Moses' protege, after Moses had died, he was the leader people looked to at the time, God was with Joshua, and we read in chapter 4, verse 24, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord. When Joshua was told this, he was doing another miracle that God performed, the parting of another body of water. And so that's twice that God did some miraculous stuff that we see. But seeing once and telling the story over and over again wasn't quite enough. So God knew this, that someday somebody might need to see something and to remember it. So Joshua was also told, when the waters were parted, Joshua was told to build a monument out of 12 stones, and he did that. And the people that helped him along the way did that. But that was a monument that was left in two places, actually, that people could see. And if I'm not mistaken, I think one of them is still there for people to see. If not, you can see right here. The primary purpose of the living stone is to do exactly what God tells us to, not try to do it this way or that way. My way might be a little better. God, can I do it this way? It might be a little easier for me. Just try to do it God's way first. God wants it to be easier on you. But don't we take comfort in the fact that if we mess up, if we do it our own way, if we become out of shape or broken, that God can put us back together again. I might be able to put a clay pot back together again with some super glue, and it might hold water. A master potter might be able to do that, might be able to put a stone vessel together in a way that it'll hold water, but the master potter will tell you that it's not going to look the same as it was when it was first made. But when the master potter that we serve, that I serve, puts something back together, he's going to do it in such a way that it's perfect. That you feel so good and so comfortable about it. You may have done wrong in this world. I've done countless wrong things in this world. I told you tonight one thing that I did wrong. I think it's acceptable to confess your sins to God, which I have done, and then to the church that you're a member of, which I hope I've done tonight. I hope that I translate God's word better each day. I hope as a preacher I do better each day. I can't do it without God's help. I need your prayers. Pray for me, and I'll pray for you. One last thing. Remember that when we do things exactly the way God wants us to, others will see. The blessing of salvation is great. It's wonderful. I feel so good knowing that when I die, I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus. I hope that Jesus will call me his friend. But as long as I'm on this earth and I do things, others will see. When I do things, others will see that. If it leaves an imprint, others will see that imprint. Who are you? Why were you created? You're created to be God's possession. You're created a servant of God. I hope that you live up to what a servant does, to serve, to do exactly what is told of you, what is asked of you. That is my message. I will pray for y'all. Y'all pray for me. Brother Moran, if Brother Moran has something that he wants to add, that'd be great. I do want to have a Christian handshake. I kind of, at the beginning of the service, I was a little bit focused on God's word. And I apologize. I didn't shake some hands. And I'd like to, at the appropriate time, at the end of the service. So, Brother Moran, I'd like to turn the service back over to you.